start out with, I see that you were born in Street. Were you born right here on the farm, or did you live somewhere else?
I was not in this house, but on this farm. We're on, I guess. I was born just over the hill in a house where my father was born. And then when I was a year old, my father built a new house and moved to that. And I lived there until 1950 and then moved here to the present place.
And was your father also a farmer?
Yes, he was a farmer, and also he was a guy in politics. He was county commissioner and county treasurer, retired as county treasurer. He was in public life from about maybe 1916 till he retired in the mid-40s.
And then, how big was your family that you raised in?
I have one brother, Hubert.
And did he also go into farming?
He was in farming, yeah. He was in a number of things. He sold insurance and he was administrator of Heavy Grace Hospital, and he was president of the Southern States Board of Directors. And he was quite active in the community and 4-H and President Rotary Club. He's been dead about 5 years, I think.
Do you remember much about growing up on the farm, what it was like?
Oh, yeah, we didn't have the convenience we have now. We didn't have central heat or indoor facilities of any kind. And it was we lived off the land. We just bought the necessities. We had our own meat and milk and raised vegetables and just was like self-sufficient.
Did you have tractors and things back then?
No, we had horses. We had two mules and one horse that we did our farming, and the horse we used for transportation.
What kind of man was your father?
Well, I'm real proud of my heritage. My father was recognized as one of the top men in the community. He was noted for his honesty and his uprightness. And he had quite a nice record in his office holding. He was recognized at the time as one of the best tax collectors in the state of Maryland. I'm real proud to have a father of that time. In fact, I happen to be a Methodist, because my family was, and the bishop was speaking at Forest Hill, and the district superintendent who introduced us to the bishop. And he said, Tom was addicted to do right because his father was a good man before him. And that was the bishop's message that day. So I was real proud of that.
Was this area has it changed very much that you can remember over the years?
Not as much as a lot of areas. This is still a rural area. There are a number of farmers around that are still the original farms for several generations. There's no development close to us. Oh, there are a few houses along the road, but it's still the rural area of Harford County.
Now, what about going to school as a young man? Where did you go?
I went to a Highland school in 1907. There were three local one-room schools at Mine Branch, Peeps' Crossroads, and Silver's Retreat. And a group of outstanding men in the community went before the Board of Education and asked for a consolidated school, which was one of the first, possibly the first in Harford County, and possibly one of the early ones in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the school was built, Mr. Wright's book tells about the building of school, names of the people, I think Hugh Heaps and Calvin LeBrest and Ed Wilson, which were very prominent people. And the school that the men of the community helped build the building. They dug the foundation and raised money.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1980 it was completed, and then they closed the three one-room schools. Like any other school closing or educational advancement, there was a lot of opposition to it. But it just turned out to be very good. And then Mrs. Harkins went before the Board of Education and said some children around Mine Branch, it was just too far for them to walk, it was 3.5 miles. And she contracted with them to, I guess they contracted with her to transport the children in a kid wagon. So the wagon was called Kid Wagon because it was just a load of kids. The book states what she was paid and how it was to be done. And she ran that wagon for maybe 5 or 6 years. I happened to be one to ride on that wagon. Pictures in Mr. Wright's book. I'll refer to the book because it saves a lot of duplication in the items that you want to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mention the names of the people. Now, Arthur Vogler was the driver, and Evelyn Harkins Caleri also served the front seat. And then there was Jeanette Harkins Porter and Margaret Harkins Watson, Florence Harkins Pegley, Alice Burgess Cahoe, my brother Hubert Burgess, Kenneth Harkins, and myself. Now, in the picture in the book, there's a little baby sitting on the front seat. That is Charles Harkins. He wasn't old enough to go to school, but he came out to have his picture taken. The picture is taken right at the edge of our farm at the intersection of what is now a Cherry Hill and Emory Church Road. And you'll see a post in the picture. And if the wagon had gone and we went there, they put a stone on the post for a signal not to wait.
That sounds like a good system.
Well, it worked anyway. In cold weather, Mrs. Harkins would heat bricks and wrap them in the newspaper and put on the floor for us to keep her feet warm going to school. And in the wintertime, when the snow on the ground, they would use a sled and 2 horses. They were all dirt roads then, and sometimes the mud would get tight to it. But we've had a lot of fun. In spring, we'd
jump off and pick berries along the road, and we pick cherries and run the hitch wagon. We enjoyed it.
Were there many in your class at Highland?
The school,
I think, well, the first class there was one graduate, and the next there was about five or six, or maybe a few more. And then there got to be larger classes, possibly, maybe up in the 20s was the largest class that ever graduated. And the school was consolidated with three other schools to form that in 1950, when North Hartford School was built. And that closed as a high school, Yarksville, Great Ridge, Highland, and Dublin. That was in 1950.
Did they give you lots of homework, or?
Yes, we had some homework, if you didn't get your work done, you had to stay in recess. We had a recess at 10:30, I think, for 15 minutes, and then at noon we had, I believe we had an hour, I'm not sure. And then another recess at 2:30. School was at 4:00. So they would they didn't have much discipline problems in those days. They were kind of ruled with an iron hand. I was telling my daughter last night that the teacher sent me the board when I was in the third grade, I believe, third or fourth grade. Told me to write 103 on the board. I wrote 1003. He pulled that down the yardstick and cracked me along the side of the head with it. It says, if I can't get in one way, I'll get it in another. I never forgot how to write 103. Found out. They didn't have a discipline problem because of the real punishment. But some of the kids were pretty good size too, and they were as big as the teacher, some of them. I've seen them slap the kids and then jump back before they hit her.
let's see. Well, now, were most of the people that went to Highland, were they going to be farmers?
Yeah, farming was the main occupation. We have a lot of distinguished people that graduated from Highland School. We're also thinking of Stuart Day as the judge, and several Harry Heaps graduated from Highland. He was bank president, Dale Snodgrass, the bank president, graduated from Highland, and Dr. Malcolm Galbraith was an agriculture administrator in a small agriculture college in New York, and he also administered the Marshall Plan in France after the war. These were all just neighbors and friends around, and of course there were a lot more, all the younger ones. Done real well.
Well, now I understood that then after you graduated, then you attended University of Maryland.
I took an agricultural short course at the University of Maryland in the winter of 1935. I was operating the farm at that time. I've operated the farm since the day I graduated from high school. So I'm pretty well involved in farming. I have taken several courses in agriculture and some courses at
started to enter in the subject of all that stuff. Investments and securities and planning, estate planning and that type of thing.
Has the philosophy about what you do in farming changed a lot?
Oh, yeah. Everything was done the hard way. Everything was done by hand or horseback. We didn't have any tractor. Well, I think we had our first tractor in 1921. It was an old fortune tractor. It wasn't real practical for farm work. But there's been a lot of improvement now. So it's gradually from the mechanization started mostly about World War II, really. Milking machines and tractors and all kinds of labor-saving equipment. It was quite impossible to get farm help at that time. Although we did use some German prisoners of war on the farm. They were right good workers. But it was a little hard to communicate, and then we had a guard with them, and we didn't do as much, just for hours from calling.
What kinds of activities would you do on the farm? The kinds of crops that you raise?
This was mainly a dairy operation. My father started dairy, I guess today. About 1903 when we got married. And we shipped our milk by the train, M&P trains, it's called, in cans. And we did that until about in the 30s, I guess. And West Mount Dairy opened the cream that piles on the hall. Milk there in the chain. And then, I guess in the 50s, we started to ship them off and milk in the bulk tank. And the tank truck would come around and pick it up. It's amazing. Took a lot of the hard work out of it. We didn't have the cans to let everything involved.
What kind of cows did you have?
We had Jersey cows. We had Jerseys all our life until in the 60s, I guess, we started listening to Holstein because people didn't want the butter fat in the Jersey. They didn't produce much milk, it was rather rich. It was only about 5.5% fat. People wanted about 3%, so we changed most of the whole thing. And we milked until 1966 and decided that it wasn't really practical. We were just working and swapping dollars, and pretty hard work. Because milk cows have to milk twice a day, 365 days a year, and just people don't want to work those hours anymore. I had a lot else to do myself, and I decided that was just more work than I wanted, so not much money on it. And we went to grain farming, and it's been very good until the last couple of years. It hadn't been quite so good. Expenses have gotten so high. But this year looks like it's going to be a pretty good year. The price is up. We usually have pretty good rainfall here. Very seldom have a crop failure. really never have had a crop fail in the 30s, about 31, 30 and 31 was very dry years here. Had another slight one, possibly 65. Usually we had good time.
Now, the kind of experience that you had here, was that pretty much in other parts of North Hartford and around?
Yes. Similar in this area. Mm-hmm. This is strictly a rural agriculture area.
Was there a lot of dairy farms in this area?
Practically every farm was a dairy farm. Mm-hmm. And now there's hardly any in the area. They're going to larger farms. People mentioned we used to milk 10 to 15 cows, and then we got up as high as 90. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the meantime, we bought my father started that with 80 acres that he bought in 1901 on the way. And it seems like every 20 years he bought another farm. He bought another one in 1921, and he bought another one in 1941. And I've bought two. I bought this one in, where we are, in 1936, and then I bought another one in 1956. And it's a nice layout here with five farms, about 350 acres. But I'm getting out of it some now. I sold one farm to my daughter 2 years ago, and another to my son this year. And easing out and letting the next generation carry on.
Mm-hmm. Is it hard having the rolling hills up here? Is it hard for doing the farm work because everything is a little bit unlevel?
No, we were raised in the hills. It's really not hilly by some places, but it's only hilly to somebody from the Eastern Shore or Joppa Town or someplace like that. You know, we don't even notice it.
Has it, are you surprised at how things have been developing in the rest of Hartford coming out for this way?
Yes. Nobody else has an answer what to do to it. I'm sure I don't about development and zoning, and it is a big problem. The experts don't know what to do, so I'm sure I couldn't advise them. I do like to see the open area, and I think a lot of people do. It's the way the laws are now. You just can't keep it this way because the estate taxes are high. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to sell this farm to pay the inheritance tax for people, for the children to inherit it. There's no possible way of it. And then you have the cash to pay the inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. So the only way to do is to liquidate. Mm-hmm. It's a bad situation there. Everybody will get that change. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's bills introduced in Congress now to change that change.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, and your father passed this farm sort of to you.
No.
No.
So I bought this.
You bought this?
I bought this one where I live now. I inherited three other farms. Mm-hmm. Of course, I gave some compensation and many years of hard work.
Mm-hmm. And that was similar to what other people were doing.
Oh, yes, people. Yes. It was, maybe 25 years ago, it was just no problem to pass from one generation to the next. Seems like everybody's so greedy for money now that they have to have so much taxes to keep things going. The government is just too expensive.
Well, now, some people find that their children don't want to work on the farm.
We have five children, and my youngest son is on the farm. In fact, he's planting corn today. He's running the operation. And my oldest son is an electrician. My oldest daughter, since she left for Florida yesterday with her husband, he teaches Western Maryland College, and he's to receive an athletic award. He gave his sabbatical year last year to the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs and worked in the Sports Medicine Center for the athletic setup at Colorado. And they're giving him some kind of award at an athletic convention this week there. So we went out last year to visit. It was very interesting in Colorado Springs to see the setup, whether it's the main training center for the United States Olympic teams. They would test them and evaluate them, and he worked there in the laboratory where they would test the athletes. It's something very unusual that I never thought about. They test them for endurance by their intake and use of oxygen. If they put them on a computer, and if they take in oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide, they're making efficient use of the oxygen. If they exhale some oxygen, they're not efficient, and there will be a good athlete. He called it like a carburetor. Huh. And it was an interesting experience. Mm-hmm. Also, they have a test for fat. If the people have excess fat, they weigh them underwater and the fat floats. And they evaluate them that way on their condition, if they're carrying too much fat. And things like that I never thought of. Mm. But I don't want to brag too much on my in-laws. my second daughter lives in Cambridge. She teaches school. And she's a math teacher in the Eastern Public Town. They live in Cambridge. My husband he's a wholesaler. He trucks to the New York market all the time. It's a very interesting business. Yeah, he even sent comp to China last year. My third daughter teaches at North Harvard Middle School, and she lives on the farm here on one of the farms. My husband is Jim Marsh, and he just finished taking his CPA exams. He hopes he passed. He said the instructor said only 5% did of the ones that take the exam. He's working as an accountant at First National Bank in Baltimore. Not today, but today's a bank holiday. My youngest son, Ed, went to University of Maryland a couple of years on a track scholarship. He was a cross-country champion 2 years straight in the track. He passed running. And I never thought that he'd want a farm, but he went to the University of Maryland for 2 years and said he didn't want to sit behind a desk or
didn't see anything you wanted to do. I wouldn't know if it's a mom and farm. He's here operating the farm. That gives you a good history. Children.
Well, now, how did you meet your wife?
Oh, my wife lives in Darlington. I guess we really met through church meetings, I guess. That's the way to meet anybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the Methodist church you were saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the youngest of seven children. They're all living and all close in the area. The father was a very unusual man. He was small, but he was a successful business. Started the blacksmith and ended up two stores and two garages. All right. We traveled quite a bit and we had a lot of interest. Mm-hmm. So all our friends are there now.
Well, now, did farm life take up most of your time? Or?
Yes, that was my total. Life, well, other community life, but farming was my main occupation.
Well, now, how did you get involved with the Board of Trustees at the college and the Board of Education?
Well,
Commercial Savings Bank. And
well, that's pretty easy. The Board of Trustees and the Board of Education, because when you're on one, you're on both of them.
Oh.
At that time. Dr. Russell was on the Board of Education. He'd just been appointed, and he was a dentist, and he decided to go to some of the islands to practice down there. And they left a vacancy, and they wanted someone from say, and I was recommended highly by the State Senate Committee and also Board of Education I debated a while about it. You know, the Board of Education was a very controversial board, especially when they take 50% or more of the tax money of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, I was appointed to the board, and I really enjoyed it. Not so, I didn't mind the criticism, because I expected that. But I enjoyed the association with such nice people. The Board of Education has a dedicated staff, a dedicated superintendent, and a lot of dedicated teachers. There's just a few that can stir up things in any organization,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you see in the papers or hear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. Roberti is recognized as the best superintendent in the state by top state officials.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an outstanding, hard-working man. Now, some of his criticism comes from he's paid a good salary to have the best education system in the county. And he's not going to settle for second best on anything if he can help it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have the top, and regardless of cost or his personal reputation, he's going to try to be the best that he can possibly get. That's my opinion, and stick with that. And also, so many nice
associations. What's the top education people in the county, in the state, and the nation?
About the college, the trust, when they first started the Community College Board of Education, the members of the board were the trustees of the college, and now that's changed quite a bit, and the Board of Education has two liaison members on the college board, and they're appointed by the Board of Education. Well, I think maybe in another year or two that will change. They're two separate institutions. Mm-hmm. It started out from the Board of Education.
What about your activities with the commercial data bank?
Well, that's a rather pleasant story. I was asked to, if I would serve on the board of directors back in 1962. My father had been a director of a bank director of the First National Bank of Harford County ever since it was reorganized after the bank closure in 1933. And when he died, I was asked by both banks to be a director, but I chose the commercial for a couple of reasons. One reason, it was immediate, and the other, it was going to be a while because there was public information, everything that thing. Anyway, I'm real happy with the commercial savings bank. It's the oldest bank in Harford County. It's the largest of the two local banks. That's the Harford Bank and Aberdeen is the other local bank. Parsville Bank was taken over by the Mercantile. In fact, it's, I think, supposed to take place in June. We meet every week. There are 10 members on the board, and we have excellent officers. And our president, our chairman of the board, just will be buried tomorrow. He died Friday, Las Vegas. And I am vice chairman of the board. The banking is a very interesting and educational institution. The laws in banking are very strict, and especially with the directors, and we're two or three times a year, they examine and they really look hard at what the directors are doing, if they borrowed and how much interest they're paying. After this Burt Blanche situation in Georgia, they really hard on, take a hard look at all your banking operations. Mm-hmm.
Looking over the years that you've put in farming, are there any things that stand out in your mind that are sort of interesting to you?
The biggest change is the improvements in the mechanical improvements in farming. When we first started
when I first started farming, everything was done by hand. So back then you when you planted corn, you plowed. It was a hand plow. If a man plowed an acre in a day, he was doing good. He had a good team and it wasn't too hot. And now you can, one man can plow. Maybe 5 acres an hour. Mm-hmm. And then when you had to hoe the corn with the hoe, now the weeds are all controlled by chemicals. You have a thin corn, now you can, they have planters. Well, in fact, right now, we're planting 26,000 grains to the acre. Mm-hmm. And you'll harvest 22,000, 24,000, depending on the wind section and a few things. And when we, before we used to cut the corn one stalk at a time, husk it one stalk at a time. And now, with a $75,000 combine, you can do maybe 20 acres a day. And it would take one man, take two men to husk 10 acres of corn in a season. Mm-hmm. In a whole 2 or 3 months. It's amazing what can be done. My son's planting 200 acres, working by himself. Well, I help him sell them. I'll be planting some later on today, I guess.
Did you have a hard time during the Depression? Did you feel that in the
city? No, we weren't used to much. And we were in the dairy business, and we got plenty to eat. We were used to wearing patchy clothes, and it was awful hard now, though. It wouldn't be as hard for me, but be hard for the younger ones that had everything and never had that. You wouldn't find anybody work for 50 cents a day now. You wouldn't find anybody. You can't find them for $5 an hour. And we were happy. Oh, we were. Now, we always had plenty to eat. We had milk, and we had oats, and we had plenty to eat, and we shipped milk, and we got a milk check every month, and we could get good help. Well, I had a coach fellow work for me. He was real good. $15 a month, 3 meals a day, and we worked from 5 in the morning till 7:30 at night, every day. People are not going to do that, man. Well, they'll starve or rob first. And it's just the attitude of the people that I don't know what was happening in the Depression, man. But we did it. And no hardship. But I think that the attitude of the people has a lot to do with the situation at the present time. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to work unless they can work 40 hours a week and have all mm-hmm. coffee breaks and everything.
Does North Hartford have a lot of community spirit?
Not as much as it used to have, because North Hartford, you're covering a big area. You're covering more than half of Hartford County.
Yeah.
Is North Hartford now. Now, it used to be the communities like Hyle, Jarrettsville, Flint Ridge, Dublin, Darlington. Mm-hmm. That's all in North Hartford area now. So, no, it's too big to have a close community spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I'm thinking another generation then. What community spirit is now will be gone because of this vast area.
Mm.
Now, like in the Highland area, everybody would take their horse and wagon and haul their milk and leave the train. Well, everybody there at 8 o'clock to talk about their things, you know, and you'd see everybody in the whole community when they took their milk to the train, same way to the store, and you go to the store in the evening, you'd stay around for 2 or 3 hours and you'd be close. Now it's just not the same. It never will be.
Mm-hmm.
That's your community spirit, and I don't think it'll ever be back, and it'll get worse on the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we used to be working out in the fields, know everybody went along the road, waved to them, mm-hmm. and lots of times knew where they're going, what time they'd be back. And knew their horse's name and so on. But those times are nice to look back on, but yet when you get old, you like to reminisce, I guess. That's what they call me. I guess I'm old enough to reminisce. But it's just those times will never be again. And possibly it's better now. Television, you know what's going on around the world in a few minutes.
Were you very aware of what was happening in the rest of the county?
I guess more than most people, because my father being in politics I was aware of pretty much it. Especially from Bel Air North. We didn't know much about Edgewood. Of course, there wasn't any Edgewood then. Edgewood is a product of from World War I on World War II.
Mm-hmm.
More World War II than one.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it, there wasn't, there might have been a post office or something, but there wasn't any development. It was fine then.
Mm-hmm.
And in Joppa Town, of course, it's in your time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's been built up.
Now, do you think your father was happy getting involved in politics and all?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was. Politics was different in those days. He had more political bosses. Major Archer was a political boss in Harford County. He knew Harford County, and he was the good of Harford County all the time. And Millard Tidings and those statesmen type. They weren't after themselves like politicians are now. They were after the good of the community, the county, and the state, and the country. And that we have some good politicians now, but I don't think they have the caliber of some of the past in my estimation.
The Snodgrass family is a pretty big family up here in this area, isn't it? I mean,
yes. Well, my great grandfather, I guess, came down from Adams County, Pennsylvania, from York and Gettysburg, to teach school with Cherry Hill, and he met my grandmother Sarah Sheridan there. And that's how they got to this area. He died very young. Let's see,
two children when they were in New York. And then after he died, my grandmother moved back to where I was born. Mm-hmm. And of course, she was there before I was born. But yeah, that's it. My father, there were nine in my father's family. You've, I'm sure you've interviewed, have you interviewed Wilson Beach?
Yeah. He's right in the street.
Yeah, in the street. Yeah. He's very knowledgeable and he's done a nice thing. And he's been a Philadelphia community all his life, and his father before him, and his grandfather, and one of the generations.
Mm-hmm. Are there some others around that you might suggest that would be good for people to get rid of and talk to?
Well, I'd have to keep that a little consideration, I guess. For sure, a lot of people in the area. I think you already have taken Mrs. Stevens maybe a number of years ago.
Okay, very
thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. She had a sister. This was not just my aunt, it was pretty close. She's 89. That's good. Right, right.
Do they call her Lizzie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She, Miss Wiley had suggested her also.
Yeah, Phil Wiley. Uh-huh. Yeah. You've interviewed Phil, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. Bree Amos, have you gotten up with her?
No. Is she in Boston?
No, she's right up the street. She's not one of her friends, but she would have a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
She was superintendent of the college. Principal of Harlem School for a number of years, and she graduated from Harlem School,
mm-hmm.
and she would have too many tapes.
Mm-hmm. We were just thinking about other people I could get with, and he was suggesting some names.
And Lizzie, and Mary Amos. Have you been in the Darlington area, any?
To Laura Bradford. She would be pretty good in that.
Well, she taught at a Darlington school for
40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Someone suggested Esther Yeager?
Yes, Esther Yeager, yeah.
From Darlington.
Yeah. You want somebody that's been around a while since
mm-hmm.
the past.
Yeah.
What about Wilson Galbraith? Mm-hmm. He just lived the next farm over. He was 75 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He remembers a lot of detailed things.
Mm-hmm. I figured something else while you may have heard.